Welcome, everybody, to the IBA NFL Recap Show. This is our last recap show, technically, of the season, because the Super Bowl is here. We waited until the last day to do this podcast because I thought that there would be so many cool prop bets, and I'm very disappointed prop bets. But here I am, IBS Eases, with me, my co-host, Joe the Brain Matt. I was just drawing a blank on a different like tag. I guess the brain's got to stick.
I've been doing it all year, right?
I know, and I keep calling you a nerd, but then the more we talk, the more I find out I'm probably the bigger nerd. But for branding purposes, you will be Joe the Brain Matz. Joe, this is it. It has been a boring NFL week building up to a Super Bowl that I feel like, you know, it's a casual Super Bowl. Like, people are going to watch because, well, Dr. Dre in the halftime show, and Joe Burrow seems like a cool guy, and it's in LA. Like, those are the things. Yeah. There's not a lot of talk about the players involved except for Joe Burrow.
Mostly seems to be Burrow, or it's like the Aaron Donald legacy stuff.
Yeah,
he deserves one.
So, I mean, but we can go ahead and essentially talk about the game itself. I've seen lines as low as 3.5, maybe 3, but I do believe that currently the Los Angeles Rams, almost calling them the St. Louis Rams.
I did that like last week, and I was like, oh yeah, that hasn't been true in like 6 years.
I know. The Los Angeles Rams are favored by 4.5. The over-under is at 48.5. -190 if you want to take the Rams money line. +155 if you want to take the Bengals money line. We don't normally jump into gambling, but I mean, you got to make a pick. It's a home game for the Rams. And I hate to say it, but I think the Bengals' luck finally runs out. I think this is the matchup that they just – it's just not going to work the way they want it to work.
Yeah, I believe they're the first team ever to make the Super Bowl off of 3 consecutive playoff wins by a touchdown or less. So they are definitely running on a bit of luck here. I mean, but yeah, Tannehill threw 3 picks. Obviously, whatever happened to Kansas City in the second half, I mean, dropping 8 was a great strategy, but that shouldn't have led to only 3 points via Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, they've been riding on the razor's edge. I mean, even before, like, you know, the last 2 months, they had to win a couple games just to get in the playoffs in that division. I mean, the thing I keep coming back to, because I keep trying to talk myself into the Bengals in this game, because I'm like, Joe Burrow, it feels like he's kind of this, like, dude of destiny. McPherson can't miss a kick. But then if you restarted these playoffs, knowing everything we know now, but we were just restarting and you replayed the games, they're all new games, but we know how this originally went, I would still easily take the Bills in Kansas City before I took the Bengals in the AFC. In the NFC, I think I would say, you know what? I think the Rams probably are the best team. You know, the Packers showed their one huge weakness was a really big weakness on special teams. And they also, I mean, they didn't put up points when they needed to. San Francisco, we knew Jimmy G was the weakness the whole time. So you look back and it's like the Rams feel like they were the right team to come out of the NFC. And the Bengals kind of feel like the lucky team. And to be fair, sometimes the perceived lucky team wins. You know, the 07 Giants against the undefeated Patriots, you know, that happened. The Flacco Ravens, who Joe Flacco turned into Joe Montana for a month. It happens. But I think, you know, the line, I think, is what it comes down to is, you have one of the best pass rushes versus one of the worst pass blocking lines. So for me, I'm with you. I think the run ends here. My hope is just that it stays close, because 2 of the last 3 Super Bowls, the losing team didn't score 10 points. And I doubt that happens this time, but it's definitely within the realm of possibility. It would not be shocking if they just get demolished on the line and Burrow's running for his life.
I'm afraid Joe Burrow's not going to make it through the game. I said that for what, the last 3 weeks when it became clear that the Bengals had a chance to get to the Super Bowl and that they could potentially face the Rams. I thought that even a matchup against the Niners would be a little challenging for this terrible offensive line. The couple games that I did watch with the Titans, he held the ball entirely too long, but it didn't seem like they had a good game plan to get the ball out of his hands.
No,
they did tweak that in the Chiefs game, but still there's this youth in him that just wants to take the big play, get the big play. We'll know early if their game plan is to get rid of the ball quickly, which it should be, but
absolutely,
what they do with Higgins and what they do with Boyd will definitely kind of show what their intent is for the game. They got to get Mixon involved in the creative way. And then what I think is the issue, other than Aaron Donald, is that their defense is just, they're playing with house money. They're definitely overachieving.
Yes.
They've had some significant injuries in the interior line, and nobody's been able to exploit that. I'm not saying the Rams are just going to run them over, but I feel like McVay is the type of coach to really make that work. And then it's just another thing where, like, the Rams have been here. Like, most of this team has already been to the Super Bowl. It's a home game for them. There's not a lot of pressure in the sense that there's travel and things like this.
That's true. That is one less thing you have to worry about.
Yeah, other than it being a very hectic week. Yeah, they should be well rested. It shouldn't mess up their normal routine too much because they're familiar with SoFi, obviously. And I just think it's asking a lot. 4.5 is a number that in previous Super Bowls, I feel like a lot of people haven't covered this. But given that this is, in my mind, a true home, I'm going to lay the points with the Rams and think that they win by at least a touchdown. I'm not sold on the over 48.5, but I do have a mark here for the Rams total over 26.5. I think they'll find some success and score. Burrow's been great, but he's also had tendencies to turn the ball over. And if you give this team a short field, I think, again, being at home, there's going to be a surge from this offense, and there shouldn't be any issues with driving the ball consistently on this Bengals defense.
Yeah, I agree with the vast majority of that. I definitely like the under in this game. That's actually probably my strongest vibe of the whole game. Yeah, I think if you're the Bengals, you know, my assumption is Ramsey will bounce between Higgins and Chase, but it will mostly be Chase. So to me, Higgins is really key if they're going to move the ball. He's, what, 6'4". Darius Williams, the other outside corner for the Rams, is 5'9". So that's something they need to be hitting over and over again to get down the field. The Rams, weakest part of their defense, passes to the short middle of the field. That's Tyler Boyd, too. So I think those two guys are key. Yeah, I think they got to be creative with Mixon, and that very much includes the passing game. The Rams were one of the worst defenses against running back screens. That's a great way to combat the pass rush. So I'm not a huge Zach Taylor guy. I do expect him to come out with some solid screen stuff, though. He showed a little bit of that in the Kansas City game. But what I worry about with him is one of the things we saw as a reaction to that Titans game where, you know, took 9 sacks. He ran the ball on 17 of 21 first downs, which we went over in the previous recap of those championship games. Mm-hmm. I think that was a way to try to save Burrow, but then it just put him in second and longs. Mm-hmm. If he does that again, Burrow's going to get demolished in second and third downs because those guys are going to be coming after him. I'm not saying abandon the run, but he has to mix up how he uses the run. Defensively, yeah, I'm with you. The Bengals, I forget what the red zone stat is, but they're in the playoffs, their red zone defense has been fantastic. in the regular season, they were a bottom five or six defense once their opposition crossed the 40-yard line. So this is not a defense that excelled at stopping people from scoring through the 17-game season. That's a much bigger amount of data to work with than three playoff games. So I do worry for them that runs out here. And I think their hope is, I think they're going to employ a pretty similar strategy to the Kansas City game, where they're going to drop a lot of guys in the coverage. You're not going to blitz, which, again, don't do against Matthew Stafford. He was awesome against the blitz, as Todd Bowles learned. But so they're going to drop seven or eight. And the question is, will Matthew Stafford force it? There were only five QBs worse against eight-man drops based on EPA this year. Let me find it right here. I'm going to run down who those five guys were. So here are the five players worse when eight guys dropped into coverage: Jalen Hurts, Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, and Big Ben. So if you can drop eight and force him to make a mistake, again, guy led the league in interceptions, they could win the game. If the Rams run offense, which was okay in the regular season, has been really bad in the playoffs. Cam Akers is getting 1.1 yards per carry before he gets first contact. So if you can do that and you can drop eight and you don't get gashed in the run game, you have a chance. That's not what happened against Kansas City. Kansas City was getting 5 or 6 yards a carry, and Andy Reid is Andy Reid, so he didn't keep running it. Sean McVay, if he's getting 5 or 6 yards a carry, is going to keep running it, and so that strategy will not work. So, like, you can come up with ways the Bengals win. Stafford forces it. Boyd and Higgins are making plays. But it's just, like, all of these things kind of have to go right. That's where the struggle is for me. Like, I'd say there's like a 1 in 3 chance they win, but there's also a 1 in 3 chance they lose by 17. That's where, for me, that's why I want to pick the Bengals, and I can't see it. And also, you and I, we both picked Kansas City last year, and the belief there was that Mahomes would be good enough to evade that pass rush and make plays. And he wasn't able to. And last week, notwithstanding, where he freaked out on some of those coverages and just ran around forever, he's much better at avoiding sacks than Joe Burrow is, who took 50-plus sacks this season. So, yeah, I don't see it, or at least I wouldn't put money on it. That's what I would say about if you are betting the Bengals, though, I kind of think you just go money line. Like, again, I think there's like a 1 in 3 chance they win. There's a 1 in 3 chance they get blown out. Take the bigger payout. If you're going to go Bengals, go all the way on it. That would be my advice. I wouldn't say do that, but if you're going to bet Bengals, to me, that's the move. Do you think that's bad? Do you think you take the four?
I mean, if they cover, in my mind, if they cover, they're winning. Yeah. So I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. And you can always live bet as well. So if you take the most value you're going to get, it's probably going to be, as far as the money line goes, it's probably going to be this plus 155 right now. And then when the game starts, depending on how far they get down, I'm just saying, like, if you watch the game at some point, you don't feel comfortable that they can win, then you take whatever points you can get in the game. I would say wait and hold off if you're taking the Bengals on the spread, but take the money line now is what I would do. The one thing that you touched on before we get into the props, I wanted to say, having watched a lot of Rams games this year, I hinted to this when we got matched up against them. I've been saying it all year. You do not want to get in passing downs, like obvious passing downs with God. This team. And it's not necessarily Von Miller. Von Miller will eat you up. But there's not a person on this line that can truly block Aaron Donald.
No.
And the other issue that I have is that when pressure is coming from the interior, the way that the Bengals have tried to adjust to that is having Mixon block and then leak out. But that ain't gonna stop Aaron Donald. It just ain't. No. And
there's no running back that's gonna be able to slow down Aaron Donald.
It didn't help. It didn't help versus the Titans either. The main thing that they have to do is, like you said, use screens. They got to get this team moving in one direction and bring them back in another direction. Like, that's what you do with aggressive defenses. But if you find yourself in 2nd and 9, 3rd and 7 situations a lot, it's going to be tough. And
right, Burrow, and Joe Burrow's not going to be able to scramble like he did in the last game, I don't think, because Leonard Floyd and Von Miller are the guys who are on the outside. Like,
yeah, they're athletic.
Right, that's the key. Is Donald's out, athletic. And then those guys clean it up.
Donald just abuses Russell Wilson, who's far more elusive than Joe Burrow. So, I mean, you have to respect this man as what I believe to be an all-time great that he is. You have to respect that and understand. When I tell you, if you don't believe me, go to the IBN handle on Twitter and just scroll through a couple clips that I posted about the Bengals offensive line against that Titans defense. There's one play where the bull rush comes from the D tackle, and he literally just put the man in Burrow's lap. It was like no effort. And I'm just saying, it's going to be bad because Aaron Donald has a motor too, which they haven't seen anybody on the interior line. Aaron Donald and Fletcher Cox are the two best interior line motors when it comes to pass rushing in the league. So it'll be interesting.
I think that's an important note. Just if you look at the paths these teams took to the Super Bowl, like especially if you look at the defenses that they went through, this is easily the best defense that the Bengals are going to face. Titans are pretty good. The Raiders were not, like Max Crosby was good. Their defense was not very good. Kansas City, we know their defense is not great. This is easily the best defense they're facing. Whereas if you're the Rams, you play the Cardinals, who their offense was in a tailspin. The defense was still playing all right. Then you beat the Bucs, who have a good defense. And you beat the Niners, who have one of the better defenses, especially down the stretch in the NFL. They're facing one of their easier ones while the Bengals are facing their hardest. So, again, that's why, I think you could see something like you said where maybe the Rams' offense works out okay and they score like 27, but this could be 27-13, 27-17 type game where you're getting the under and that Rams cover.
So, I'm going Rams to cover, leaning to the under 48.5. But not because the Rams. I think the Rams can get at least 27 in this game. And honestly, if I had to do a score prediction, because both these teams have settled for field goals a lot more than people want to give the credit for this postseason.
He's not the most aggressive coaches.
Yeah. So anything where the Rams are 24-27 range and the Bengals are 13-17 range, I think it's pretty good.
I did my fantasy pod yesterday and it was like, throw one of these kickers in your lineups on like DraftKings, because these are two of the better performing kickers, both in real life, just making kicks, and fantasy standpoints, because these are not aggressive coaches on fourth downs. I know on like Edge Sports, I think Zach Taylor was right around average, maybe a little below. And Sean McVay is like a bottom 10 coach in fourth down aggressiveness every season. So
he's don't even get me started on McVay.
Andy Reid was our only hope for a coach with any fourth down aggressiveness in those conference championships.
Yeah. All right. So getting into the props. Obviously, the coin toss should be tails. I don't know what everybody else has been looking at, but literally every coin toss has been tails.
Except for Buffalo.
Yeah. So you should go tails.
That was the one time it was heads. It was like, tough break, guys.
And that's their luck.
That's their luck, historically.
So I got tails from a coin toss. Absolutely disgusted at the fact that I don't have my commercial props. I don't have my multi-sport props. Like, there used to be, like, that's what I'm saying. There's something about the Super Bowl that's just not appealing. There used to be, like, because the Phoenix Open, which is a popular golf tournament, is on Sunday. And there used to be, props you could do where you could go for like Manchester City, how many goals they would score versus how many field goals would be made in the game and things like that. None of that's up. I don't, my Dorito commercial stuff isn't up. I guess if you can find a legitimate sports book or anything like that, maybe they'll have it. But my bookie, FanDuel, DraftKings, everything, MGM, that I've, everything I've checked on my app and online for my state doesn't have it. So, coin toss, tails, fastest sack. This is on DraftKings. Fastest sack. I'm going Aaron Donald plus 450 for the fastest sack.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Obviously, Von Miller is quick enough to give you a chance on that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if the guy's coming up the middle, that's usually, if he gets there, it's the fastest one. So I will not try to talk anyone out of taking Aaron Donald for fastest sack.
Super Bowl MVP, any other player plus 160. I don't think it's going to be a quarterback.
I don't think it's going to be a quarterback either. But wait, what are we getting? So it's just any non-QB? Is that
any, bet? Yep, any non-QB.
Oh, I like that a lot then. I think it's either one of the receivers or it's going to be like a Donald or a Von Miller.
Yeah. So I've got Aaron Donald plus 900 or 9-1 for Super Bowl MVP. That's ambitious, people. It's very ambitious. But my feeling is one, if the Rams win, he'll definitely be making plays. And then two, there's just so much hype about his legacy that it would be hard for him not to get the nod unless Jalen Ramsey has like three interceptions or something crazy. All he needs is a couple sacks and he'll definitely get the nod.
All right. I see. If I'm going with the Rams, which again, I think they probably win. So I think that's where the money, smart money probably goes. I like Von Miller because you're getting him at 40-1. So the payout, at least on DraftKings. So the payout there is huge. This guy who's won an MVP before, I think there's a good chance they're going to just be so focused on trying to stop Aaron Donald. Von Miller is the guy who cleans it up. OBJ, I like it plus 2,800 because it's probably going to be a lot of Eli Apple. I saw some quote today that Eli Apple was supposedly excited because he gets to face a old LSU guy. As a Giants fan, I've seen both these guys play a lot of football. I would bet on Odell Beckham every single time. And if you are going Bengals, T. Higgins to me is the guy. Because I think most of the focus is going to be stopping Ja'Marr Chase from having any big plays. So if the Bengals do win this game, and you're not going QB, which again, the payouts aren't very good anyway, I would go T. Higgins if you're going Bengals.
Yeah, if you're going Bengals, I think T. Higgins, I like that angle on Von Miller, especially as a long shot. I mean, 40-1, right. $10 gets you 400. And hell, I'm even going to put $10 on that just because you said it. And if you give me $400, I will be very nice to you on the next episode. How about that?
Oh, that's very sweet of you.
But no, 40-1 is great, especially with him having been the MVP. If you guys know anything about the Bengals, anybody's going against Isaiah Prince, which is a right tackle, yeah, going to feast. So I would imagine Von Miller will get his fair share of chances over there. I know they line Aaron Donald outside sometimes as well. And when they do, he typically goes against the right tackle. So there's going to be plenty of opportunity for people to make plays. What I think is the best prop that I saw out of all the props, passing attempts. Total passing attempts for the game, under 75.5. Checking the average, both quarterbacks come in. Burrow is averaging 33 passing attempts, and looks like Stafford is a smidge under that, averaging like 31, 32.
Right. I feel like if you're taking the over, you're kind of banking on, A, both of these coaches coming out aggressive, and I don't trust them both to do that with the passing game. And B, I think you're kind of banking on, like I said, I think the Bengals are going to drop 7 or 8, like, constantly. So is Stafford dinking and dunking? Is, I think Burrow probably has to dink and dunk because of the pressure. Are they able to constantly, convert those third downs? I like the under in this game, so I don't think so. So I'm with you. I think that's an under. And what's the payout on that?
-125, so it's
-125.
Yeah, it's not a huge boost or anything.
You can easily parlay that with something like the under on one of those guys, like passing yards or something.
Yeah, in my mind, McVay doesn't want Stafford throwing the ball, but so much. And
I think he's proven that if, like, that Tampa Bay game, it was probably a mistake. But if they get a lead, he's going to just want to run the ball as much as he can.
Yeah.
If they're up multiple scores.
Yeah. And if anything, man, if the Bengals are smart, they don't want – if Burrow drops back to pass 33 times, he's going to get hit at least 17.
That's the thing. I think to win, he has to do that.
Well, obviously, but
– but that's why we're both picking the Rams.
Yeah, but I don't think – I think if he gets hit 17 times, he ain't going to make it.
I will say, Joe Noteboom, the backup tackle for the Rams, is one of the he and Tyler Higbee are the two guys who were out in this game for the Rams. So if the Rams were to lose one of their tackles in this game, the guy who came in and played great as a sub against Tampa Bay is not there.
Mm.
So that's another thing where it's like, if this goes right and one of those tackles goes down for the Rams, Then suddenly you could see Matthew Stafford under pressure, where if no one gets hurt on that line, I don't think Stafford's seeing much pressure this entire game.
Yeah. All right. So if you do find a Gatorade prop, I'm going to leave you guys with this tidbit. If you do find a Gatorade prop, keep in mind there are 3 colors of Gatorade that they use throughout the game. So there's no one particular color. So if I were you, I would pick 3 colors, or I narrow it down to 3 colors. One of them being blue, because it's the Rams, even though I think that's one of the most disgusting flavors. One of them being blue, one of them being orange, and then just a variable. Personally, my favorite would be purple, which is purple. Yeah, the purple one tastes like Kool-Aid to me. That's why I like it. But it's sweeter. The generic one is the fruit punch, but
that's
I forgot what they call the purple flavor one. But I feel like that has the better taste. It's like glacier frost or freeze or something like that. I think frost is the blue one, and then there's another one that's purple. But either way, blue should be in the mix if you think the Rams are going to win. But just remember, I told you guys, tails, don't go with whatever Josh Allen picks.
And I want to give out my first touchdown score pick.
Oh, yeah. Which I didn't even see that prop.
Last year, the only thing I think I got right about last year's Super Bowl was the first touchdown pick, which I said Gronk last year. So hopefully some people listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go tight end again. I think the Bengals are going to struggle in the first quarter. They're over the course of the year, like bottom 5 offense in the first quarter. So I think it's going to be a Rams touchdown first. And when you look through, one of the worst things in this Bengals defense is covering the tight end. So I'm going to say Kendall Blanton, who I believe on DraftKings is +1400. I like him as the guy. We saw last week or 2 weeks ago, when Higbee went out, they had no problem throwing him. He had 5 receptions over 50 yards. They called the tight end screen specifically for him. So I think he gets featured in this game. So I like him as the first touchdown scorer.
I am cool with that. What's the odds again?
I believe I saw it at 1400.
Yeah, see? My type of odds, man. My type of odds. With 2 offenses that, if they do get in the red zone, are just going to be as chill as they could possibly be. I think tight ends, typically safety nets anyway, are right there. And then if you want to slip something in on like Cooper Kupp, I wouldn't take him. I wouldn't take him for first score. I feel like that's kind of a low odd type thing. But there is, I did see a prop of him plus 235 being the first wide receiver to score. So if you get more specific as far as the first wide receiver rather than just the first person in general to score, I think you would get better odds. So that's what we have for the Super Bowl. Again, if you're like me, just, you know, when you log out of DraftKings and FanDuel, they ask, you know, how'd you rate your experience? I'm definitely going to one star everything and then put in that I'm absolutely disgusted that I've been betting the Super Bowl for almost 8 years. And this is the first year where I can't find like commercial props. There's no Trump props. There used to be Trump props.
Didn't they pull the national? Didn't most books pull the national anthem one, I heard?
Yeah, there's usually a national anthem prop. I didn't see that. And then even better was the Demi Lovato drug addiction prop. Was she going to go back to rehab or not? Yeah. That was 5-1. And they gave you a six-month window.
Can't believe that was a real thing that people...
Yeah, man, listen. There are some really awful props that people have had in some of these Super Bowl things. And generally, when we're talking about Super Bowl props, like the Super Bowl and elections are debates. Those things are the worst props. Like the things that they come up with are the absolute worst props. One of my favorites was during the Trump Biden debate, whether who would be the first one to swear. And believe it or not, it was Biden.
I was going to say, I would have bet on Joe Biden. If we're talking about swearing, then it's Joe Biden.
I bet on Trump 4-1 when he beat Hillary Clinton, man. That's how gambling is, people. Sorry.
My favorite thing about this last election is you were still able to like make bets some places.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks later when we knew who won.
Yeah.
But because there were some people who didn't know, you could still like make money off of that.
Yeah. So if you take your allegiance out of it and your morals, you could bet on anything. That's basically what I was gambling. Yep, that's what I'm trying to get you guys to understand. And again, I've done a great job of keeping that out of this show, but for the sake of the Super Bowl, I felt like we had to cover that. If I can, I'll post some stuff in the All-Star group. You guys who are a part of IBN know that we have an IBN All-Star group. I'll post some prop bets in there. He just gave you a 14-1 that I think is pretty solid. I would definitely follow that based off of just his call with Gronk last year as well. So, again, got at least a little bit of a chance to maybe get you some money here. And then what we will do after the Super Bowl is we don't have to draw it out and recap it, but we'll just give it a week break and come back a week after that week break. So in 2 weeks, we'll be back and we'll just start with our off-season shows, which topics will vary. We'll try to keep it fresh, try to keep it current. We will cover things like Flores's potential case against the NFL. Yep. And other coaching moves, like I got alerts that Matt Rhule has been considered a lame duck coach. People don't even want to interview for assistant positions with the Panthers because they don't think he's going to last long. So,
that's how you end up with my guy McAdoo as your offensive coordinator.
Yeah, right. The last resort. But we'll talk more about that, and then obviously cover some of the pre-draft hype as it comes as well. So good luck to everybody. Good luck to the Rams. Good luck to the Bengals. Again, I don't wish injuries on nobody, but I am very concerned for Joe Burrow in this game.
I'm rooting for the Bengals, so I definitely hope that Joe can stay up. Because I don't know if people know this, but if Joe Burrow and the Bengals are able to win the Super Bowl, Joe's will officially take the lead all time over Tom Brady for first name with the most Super Bowls. So, only, go Joe's.
Only you.
It's literally right now, it's a tie between all Joe's collectively and Tom Brady.
Only you, man. Only you. So is Flacco, Montana, and Namath?
Let's see. And Theismann.
Theismann, yeah. I forgot about Theismann. All right. I try to forget about anything Washington John Doe's.
That's fair. I'm not going to argue with you on that.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I'll catch you in 2 weeks, obviously. And thank you guys for listening.